confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We as a church family, God has brought us together as a church family. We are here to encourage one another to love. We are here to encourage one another to good works. But we are here to be together. That's the purpose of the body of Christ, is to be unified together. And yes, life happens sometimes and it's tough. And we begin to think that sometimes we're alone and that no one has faced a situation like what we're going through. But God has something for us. And in those moments of praise, we should draw together, praising God. In those moments of hardship, we draw together, again, praising God that He has promised to be with us in times of tribulation. God has something for us as a church. He has something for us as a family, but we together as a family should be united. No matter what's going on in our lives, we should be united. And I know that many of you here, you have some great praises going on. Some of you have some hurts. Some of you have some blessings to share. Some of you have some sorrows to share. But I think we as a church family, we need to take time to do that. We need to take moments in our lives when we can just talk about what is happening in our lives. And I want to just briefly this morning before we start the sermon, I just want to dive into this. Brian, if you started the video, go ahead and kill it here because I'm going to start back up in just a minute. So have you started the video yet? You have? Go ahead and kill it because we're going to go into the sermon just a little bit. All right. Let's dive in. Can we do it? Are you guys excited? All right, let's make this happen. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to fly through this one today, but it's going to be fun because we're talking about God's promises. And hasn't God promised us a lot? He really has. We're going to talk about some of them earlier or later in the service, but there are a few things that God has promised us. I just printed off. Oh, man, there are so many. There are way too many. But I like Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and what shall you do after you receive that power? We're going to read it from the ESV. I printed it out in the wrong verse there. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, here's what God says to us. And this promise is very true for all of us today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That was God's promise. Jesus promised His disciples. You know what? We are given that same Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says we are sealed with the Spirit. We have that same Spirit, and God's got something for us to do, people. And I'm excited to be here in front of us, and hopefully we're going to learn something today about God and His promises. Sermon titled, You Want Fulfillment? Then Live Faith. If you want purpose in your life, then you're going to live your faith. You're going to live by the power of the Spirit. You're going to live the faith that God has for you. If you want fulfillment, if you want to go home at night and put your head on your pillow knowing you've done a good thing, then we live our faith. Our story today is about Abraham. We'll be looking at Abraham out of Hebrews chapter 11, then turning back to Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, the premise of the service today, in your bulletins you'll find a little outline, simple little outline, two-sided. You can write out some things down there. You can just take some notes if you want to. Central idea of the message is this. The story of Abraham shows us that God's spiritual promises are fulfilled by faith, but God's material promises are fulfilled through obedience. All right, does that make sense? Spiritual promises, God promises us some spiritual things, like the Holy Spirit, for example. Is there anything I can do to get the Holy Spirit? Nope. When I believe on Jesus, He gives it to me. That's a spiritual promise fulfilled by God. Material promises are fulfilled through obedience is really what it is. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the first command with promise. Right? If we obey our parents, and God promises a life long on this earth, that is a command with promise. That's a material blessing, a long life that takes obedience. Does that make sense to you guys? You tracking with me? All right, we're not stretching too much here. We're going to look at Abraham real briefly. Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 12. Hebrews 11, 8 through 12 says this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. But he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham had a promise from God. In fact, Abraham had several promises from God. The Abrahamic covenant. Now, that may be a new phrase for some of you. We're going to be looking at the Abrahamic covenant today. If we were in Bible college, a professor would say, okay, a wise student would remember this. The Abrahamic covenant is found in Genesis chapter 12. Now, when my professor would say a wise student would remember this, I know it's going to be on the test, right? You will not have a test, but, you know, just for kicks and giggles, if somebody ever asks you, where do you find the Abrahamic covenant? You say, well, in Genesis chapter 12. Everybody knows that. Hello? Come on, right? Genesis 12. And there are three parts of the Abrahamic covenant that we're going to look at today. All right? Three promises that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And then we're going to look at verse 4, which is Abraham's response. And we're going to look at how it applies to us, and we're going to do it in a hurry, because it's fun. All right. Promise number 1 is land. Genesis chapter 12. Reading out of the ESV version, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. How would you like that phone call? I want you to pack up your house and go. Well, where am I going? I'm going to show you. Just go. Now, isn't that a fun time? I was talking to Philip and Amy. You guys, these guys from Kentucky, right? They felt God's calling to come to Nebraska. Didn't know why. They just felt it, right? So they... literally, they had their house on the market. They still didn't even have a house yet out here. They didn't know where they were going to live. Just pack up their things and go. And it wasn't easy, was it? It was tough. But they went. Now, how many of us would like that? It's not very easy. Rachel and I in Omaha. Last year, where are we going to go? You know, we go back and live with the family for a while, right? It's a great time. It actually kind of was. But it's one of those things, it's tough sometimes just to go. He's 75 years old. God tells him, go. Because I'm promising you land. So the promise number 1, the Abrahamic covenant, the promise of land. Was that a conditional promise or unconditional? In other words, did God promise Abraham, no matter what you do, you're going to get it? Or Abraham, you have to do something? Well, what's the first thing he tells him? Go! Right? Seems like he had to do something there, didn't he? He had to go. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham obeyed. He had to go to get that promise. Promise number 2, descendants. Verse 2, Genesis chapter 12. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will make of you a great nation. Abraham and Sarah had not yet been able to have children. He's 75 years old, not able to have kids. God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you descendants. That's part of the Abrahamic covenant. Again, did Abraham have to do anything? Well, he had to go. God said, go, and I will do this. Go, and I will do this. Go, and I will do this. There are these things that God said you've got to do. If you're going to have descendants, then go. And I will do this thing through you. A material blessing. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Material blessing that he was given him. I'll make of you a great nation. Promise number 3. Blessing and redemption. The Abrahamic covenant, 3 parts. Land, descendants, and blessing. Right? Land, descendant, blessing, and redemption. Verse number 3, Genesis chapter 12. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now how would all the families of the earth be blessed through Abraham? Out of the line of Abraham came the Son of God, Jesus. And he says, all the families of the earth will be blessed because of Abraham. That is blessing, and that is redemption, isn't it? The redemption that comes through Christ. That is a blessing that was promised to Abraham for eternity. Blessing promised for Abraham's family for eternity. A blessing that was coming from Abraham. That blessing was completely dependent upon God. God had to do all that work. He had to do it all. What did Abraham have to do? Just go. God said, go, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. Go, I'm going to give you land. Go, everybody will be blessed because of you. But Abraham, go. You've got to go. These promises that he has. Promises that he had for Abraham. What was Abraham's response? obedience. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. What did Abram do? He went. Right? We as a church, we want to receive the blessings that God has promised. What do we got to do? Something. We just can't sit back, can we? This week of 5-day close was such a blessing that never would have happened had we not done something. All you guys who provided food, all you guys who provided whatever it was you provided, you handed out flyers to the kids, you gave our kids something fun to do in the evenings, you provided food and transportation, all those different things that happened because we as a church came together and we did something. Abraham went and he did something. Land, descendants, blessing. We're going to look at the promises God's made for us. Abram's response here, Genesis chapter 22, 16. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, as the sand is on the seashore. In context, here's where that verse is. God had told Abraham, at this point he has a son by the name of Isaac. God had told Abraham, go and sacrifice your son to me, your only son. Give him back to me. Abraham went. Didn't ask any questions. So he packed up. He rose, and early the next morning, he went to sacrifice his son Isaac. He goes up on the mountaintop. Isaac says, Father, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will provide. He builds the altar. He lays Isaac, his own son. He binds him, lays him upon the altar to kill him. And at that moment, God stays his hand, and he says this verse. He says, by myself I have sworn, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. Now you look at that and you see Abraham's obedience led to God's blessing, right? Is there any other way to perceive that? Abraham's obedience led to God's blessing. Now that's material blessing. We're going to look in just a moment at some of the spiritual blessings we get. But what has God promised us? What are some of the things that God has promised us as Christians? Well, the first thing, we're going to look at this in kind of reverse order, because Abraham got land, descendants, and redemption. We get redemption first, and my clicker just broke. This is awesome. All right, there we go. Perfect, there we go. We get redemption and new life. That's the first thing that God has promised us, isn't it? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who what? All right, we can do a little bit better than that. Everyone who what? Believes, that's right. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. We get salvation through the gospel to everyone who believes. John 5:24, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. That is redemption, isn't it? That is a blessing for us. That is redemption. And when we are redeemed, at that point we have another blessing, and that blessing is descendants. We get to have descendants. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, we read this. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, is that a conditional or unconditional promise? Conditional. What do we got to do? Follow him. The first one is based all on God. He does everything. All we got to do is believe. There is not anything that we can do outside of believing the truth of God's word. This next one, we want descendants, spiritual descendants. What do we got to do? Follow him. That's what we have to do. And it takes work. It takes opening up your house every morning at 10 o'clock, every afternoon at 1 o'clock to kids. It takes effort. It takes putting up with teenagers who smell like teenagers. Ay, ay, ay. All right, it's another story. Okay, I mean, it's one of those things. That's what you got to do sometimes, isn't it? And we get blessings from that, don't we? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's a promise God has from us. We get redemption. We get descendants. And we get a new home. John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that exciting? I got a new home waiting for me. Are you guys ready to go? Are we ready? Come on, people. Are we ready? Yes. We have a new house, don't we? And praise God, it's a promise for us, not based on anything that I do apart from believing in Jesus. That's not a condition. Now, he promises rewards for those of us who serve him faithfully. Absolutely. But if I'm a believer, I'm getting in. I am. Now, there may be some sadness when I get up there and I realize I've got nothing to offer God. But you know what? I'm in. And that's based completely upon God. Completely upon God. We're going to look back at these promises that God made to Abraham. The so what? What does this mean to us? Right? In Romans chapter 4. I talked about these promises, these material promises that Abraham received because of his obedience. Go and I will give you land. Go, I will give you descendants. Go, I will bless you. What does that mean for us spiritually? Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. What's that mean? Abraham going did not save Abraham. Let's note that again. Abraham going did not save Abraham. Abraham going gave him the promise of land, gave him the promise of descendants, gave him the promise of being a blessing, but it did not save him. Abraham believing is what saved him. And by believing, he then went. And that was what gave him those material blessings that he has here, that he experienced here on this earth. But the promise to Abraham, verse 13, Romans chapter 4, the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law. In other words, did not come through obedience, keeping the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the inheritance, the adherence of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. It's promised upon faith. All these things that Abraham got began with his faith. We as a church, it has to begin with our faith. If we're going to do something, we're going to be pleasing to God, it has to begin with our faith. If you want fulfillment in your life, you have to live your faith. Abraham kept the things. He kept the commands that God had told him to do. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. We see some of the things that Abraham did. He was not a perfect person, but he lived a life in obedience to God. And he received blessings because of it. Verse 20, chapter 4. No unbelief made him, that's Abraham, waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's by faith, isn't it? It absolutely is. You know what? Spiritual promises are fulfilled by faith. Material promises are fulfilled by obedience. We can all experience the spiritual blessings of being part of God's family by faith. But it takes more than that to get the material blessings. We as a church are blessed right now, aren't we? Innumerably blessed. Way more than what we ever would have thought we could be, because we're doing something. We're excited again. We love one another. We're in unity together by faith. And now we're believing that God can do something crazy through us, aren't we? That's what it means to live faith. Faith should not be the end goal for us. Faith should be the beginning. Faith should not be the end goal. It should be the beginning. For us sitting in our pews today, for you sitting in your pews today, where are you at? Does your life have fulfillment? Do you have purpose in your life today? Are you living the faith that God has given you? Are you living that? If you want fulfillment, then you're going to live your faith. God, I just praise you just for this lesson today. And we spent 20 minutes today just praising you for who you are and the many things you've done. And Father, I just praise you so much for these things you have. And now we came to you and we looked at the promises you made for us, recognizing that faith is really the beginning of our journey. And Lord, now that faith has called us to do something, and I praise you that you are using us in spite of who we are. And yet, because we're justified through the death of your Son, you are using us because of who we are, and that is righteous people, sinners saved by grace. And Lord, I praise you that you have a goal and a plan for us. Help us as a church to join together in whatever that may be, God. Help us as individuals to be willing to be obedient to you in every walk of life. God, I thank you for being such a good and loving God. In Jesus' name.